Courage is not having the strength to go on. It is going on when you don't have the strength. Theodore Roosevelt.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Hi there. Welcome to the Essential Oil Revolution. I'm your host, Samantha Lee Wright. On today's show, we talk with someone who I believe really embodies the entire mission around what this podcast is about. We talk a lot on the show about how essential oils are not just a lovely tool that smells good, but a powerful gift from nature that can help you reclaim your health. Our guest today, Cressida Pollock, shares her story of reclaiming her health, starting from a young age when she was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, a potentially life-threatening autoimmune disease that affects so many people around the world. Today's show is not just for people who have been diagnosed with Crohn's or other autoimmune diseases, but for anyone who's ready to take back their power, reclaim their health, and transform their world using essential oils and other holistic tools. We'll hear all sorts of tips for essential oils and skin health, gut health, lowering your toxic load, and so much more. But first, every week, I love to share with you guys my favorite oils that I've been using lately. This week, I've become absolutely obsessed with the Winter Nights blend that Young Living recently created. It contains Northern Lights Black Spruce, which is one of my favorite oils on its own, but then they balance it out with cedarwood, orange, and peppermint essential oil. So with the cedarwood and the black spruce, you get this very earthy, woodsy, warm sensation, and then mixed in with the orange and peppermint, you also get this really inviting and energizing, refreshing aroma as well. It just reminds me of like falling snow and Christmas time, or just cozying up next to a warm fire, especially when we've been having all these winter storms lately in America. You really do feel like you're in the middle of a forest. So it's a great oil to make a massage oil out of. You can simply diffuse it and enjoy it that way. You could also make a great DIY beard oil or just a cologne out of it. It's a very masculine smell that's warm and inviting at the same time. We've also been loving the Winter Nights hand lotion as well. They also provide that same scent in a foaming hand soap, which I love their foaming hand soaps. They're all naturally formulated ingredients. The Winter Nights hand lotion, if you haven't tried it yet, it has mango butter in it. It also has watermelon seed oil in it, which is a great moisturizer, and apple extract, which reduces dryness and increases skin hydration up to 88%. So I love the hand lotion. I love the foaming hand soap, and I love this oil blend on its own as well. That's my favorite oil this week. Now let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. This week's DIY dugout recipe comes from Kim Guzalik from Moravia, which is in the Czech Republic. Her recipe is called the Immune Boosting Tea. To make this immune boosting tea, combine 1.5 ounces Nyxia Red, 1 squirt grapefruit bergamot vitality drops, 5 drops orange vitality, 1 to 2 drops thieves vitality, and 10 to 12 ounces cold or warm water. Kim says, this drink is awesome warm on cooler mornings or cold when the weather is hotter. It actually helped her cut back on her morning coffee. Perfect drink to switch out from your coffee or tea. Thank you so much for your recipe, Kim. We really appreciate it. And we love all of the recipes you guys send in to DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Hi, I'm here with Cressida Pollock. She's a yoga teacher, science nerd, and creator of the much-loved oily site Stripey Horse, where she teaches other mamas to clean up their households effectively and economically. Cressida, it's wonderful to have you here on the show with us today. How are you doing over there in Australia?
Well, it's a beautiful day here, Sam. It's such a pleasure to be here. We're in the midst of the last flows of summer, I guess.
Yeah, meanwhile, I'm looking at about 6 inches of snow outside my window.
That's right.
So, Cressida, not long ago, you were faced with a life-threatening autoimmune disease. You went through some exhaustive and draining medical treatments for that. And is that what ultimately led you to essential oils and holistic alternatives?
That's exactly right, Sam. I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease when I was in my early 20s, but I had really been suffering a little bit with gut symptoms from earlier on. And I think prior to that, really a little bit of mental health issues, which I realize now with the gut-brain axis, that was probably just an indication that things weren't quite right. I was told that it would only ever get worse as I got older. And that was one red flag for me. I'm not really, I don't like to be given bad news. I tend to be quite a positive person. But I grew up in a house where there was sort of a pill for every ill, and we always followed what doctors told us.
Right. Tell me, how old were you again when you were diagnosed?
So I was in my early 20s when I was diagnosed, but I probably started to have symptoms in my mid-teens.
And for people not familiar with Crohn's disease, what do those symptoms kind of look like, and what do we know about where it comes from?
So it's a form of inflammatory bowel disease, and so it can be ulceration anywhere from the mouth. So that obviously the gut starts in your mouth and ends at your anus, and so it can be ulceration anywhere along that pipe. And I had severe fatigue, blood loss, rushing to the bathroom sort of 30 times a night. It was pretty intense.
It sounds excruciatingly painful.
It was very painful, but I think probably the biggest thing for me was that I was just exhausted all the time.
Yeah. Well, it seems like if your entire bowel system is inflamed from top to bottom, then you probably aren't even absorbing the nutrients of the food that you're consuming.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that I couldn't sit right with was that the doctor said what I ate wouldn't make a difference to my health. I just couldn't get my head around that.
I have similar feelings. When we were recently going through a lot of the stuff with my daughter, Layla, who was diagnosed with, well, at first she was diagnosed with a kind of juvenile form of rheumatoid arthritis, and then later, you know, was turned out it was Lyme disease. But I kept asking that question to the supposed top pediatric, you know, rheumatologists in our area of, you know, what can we do nutritionally? What things should she eat or avoid eating? Do we know how much that can make a difference? And the answer was always, you know, just no, you know, basically it doesn't matter, it just didn't sit right to me either. Partly because of the background I've had and knowing that, yes, of course food matters, but I'm a little in shock hearing that, especially for a disease that is so centered around the gut and the intestines, that a doctor would say that what you eat doesn't matter.
It was crazy too. I mean, this gastroenterologist, who I still see, but he was at the forefront of some of the quite unusual treatments of fecal transplants. And I was purchasing whipworms from Switzerland and ingesting those. I mean, we were really doing some way out stuff, I thought.
Yeah.
But on reflection, and even up until now, he just doesn't really feel that what you eat makes a difference. And it's the first question my vet asks when I take my dog to the vet is, what's she been eating? It's crazy.
Yeah, that is really interesting. That is the first place we typically go to for animals. But for some reason, we have a hard time seeing ourselves as animals, I feel like. So I want to talk about genetic weaknesses a little bit. Some of the work that you do helps to teach people that genetic weaknesses can be overcome. So tell me a little bit more about how that ties into essential oils and healthy living for you.
For me, when my middle child was born, so my son, he's 10 now, I guess I had kind of processed the fact that I had been sick. I ended up having my whole large intestine removed, so it's called a total colectomy, and I had reversal surgery after that. And I had got to a bit of a stopgap in my health history where I was tweaking my diet to find things that worked for me. But then things took a bit of a turn when Arlo was born. He was allergic to what seemed like everything. He was very sensitive. So I had gestational diabetes and I was insulin dependent for that. So they're unsure whether the medications I took damaged my pancreas or whether that was something that was, you know, possibly destined to happen in the future. It's not really sure, but I was encouraged to long-term breastfeed him to reduce any, any of the effects that could have had on him, which is childhood obesity, increased risk of developing diabetes, type 1 and type 2. So I did that and I was eating a pretty clean diet, but he was still having skin reactions and gut reactions on a fairly regular basis. So that was really what led me with my naturopath to pursue some fantastic research, which is nutrition genome in America. Nutrition genome, it does a lot of SNPs, and I know there are quite a few genetic tests available now, but if you can get somebody who can really, really well understand the process of looking at your genetic SNPs and then putting into practice supplementation and diet in order to slow the any negative effects and just improve the positive genes that you do have.
Mm. Are you talking basically like DNA testing, having your DNA tested and you get the report and you can go through with someone that kind of knows how to read that and then from there be able to point out, oh, you're genetically just, predisposed for this. Let's compensate for that with XYZ supplements and these types of foods and things like that.
Absolutely. And my mind was really blown with that because I tend to be quite intuition driven towards things for myself. But if I can really back that up with the science, just for me, it brings all the pictures together. And I'm really excited about just knowing that I have that firm structure to then experiment with myself on and with my family too.
Mm-hmm. So did you get that testing done for yourself and Arlo?
I did. It's great. It's literally just a cheek swab. So it is very easy to perform. We did it for him when he was quite young. I've actually got three children, so we've all had it done, my husband and myself. It's been really transformational for us as a family.
Yeah. Tell me more about what you learned from that kind of testing and what choices that then led you to make as a family.
So I guess one of the things that really surprised me was that I was also insulin dependent gestational diabetes with my second son. And so I really was dipping my toes into the ketogenic diet, which we know has had a lot of press recently. And I wasn't doing any kind of what they call dirty keto. I wasn't bacon and creaming and buttering it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
A very whole foods diet, but I just didn't really feel very good on it. And when this testing came through, what came up that what was better for, and in fact, all of us in the family have the same results, that we're much better off with a lighter protein diet, and we all have a difficulty keeping up a really healthy microbiome, so we need to include more legumes. And this just sort of blew my mind because it didn't make sense at the time in terms of keeping my blood sugar levels steady.
Yeah, you were more drawn towards, I don't know, kind of meat and potato kind of heavy things. Like you felt like that's what was keeping your blood sugar up. And then you got these results that said more like, no, eat more quinoa and beans.
Kind of, yeah. It was the two things. So it was just reducing the protein a bit in order to keep the blood sugar a little bit more control and making sure that I had more legumes so that I really worked on feeding all those different parts of the microbiome that maybe found it a bit more challenging to stay a really good mix in there.
Mm-hmm. So how do essential oils come to play a role in your journey?
So essential oils are so much a part of my wellness routine. I use them every day. I think it is sort of middle of the day and I've probably already used about 20 or 30. I use them for emotional support. I use them to help us get out the door smoothly in the morning. I use them to pump up my energy or get my concentration together. I definitely use them to soothe any gut issues or residual joint pain that I can sometimes get when my Crohn's is flaring. And, to wind down at nighttime. And absolutely, I use them to look after my skin.
Because skin symptoms tend to go along a lot with people who are struggling with healthy gut. Can you talk a little more about that?
Yes. So it's pretty common for people who have, gut dysbiosis to have symptoms on their skin. I know for me, certainly, I have been lucky to have pretty good skin. But from time to time when my gut was flaring, I would especially be very reactive to things, even to foods that I ate, or I would even walk through the perfume aisle the perfume department in a shopping center, and the smell of it would inflame my face. It would just go bright red and really burn. It was quite uncomfortable.
Yeah. So what kind of essential oils would you use and how would you use them when you found yourself having kind of a flare up?
So I think probably the biggest thing for me was to go low and slow. So I really have always been drawn to lavender as really a very soothing, as pretty much everybody knows it, super soothing for the skin. I love jojoba oil for the face, and I like to mix Frankie lavender and jojoba for a very sensitive skin. You know, if you're a bit drier, I really like adding chamomile, particularly Roman chamomile, sandalwood, neroli or rose if you have access to it, and myrrh is really beautiful and nourishing for the skin as well.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier you would use essential oils a lot for joint pain when that would come up, because that's a common issue as well. Paint a picture of what oils you use and how you use them for that.
So I think that I would, often there are particular blends that I would make with some of the warming oils, some wintergreen, thyme, oregano. I know that they're typically thought of as being a little bit, maybe not so much for joint pain, but I always found them to be really warming and soothing. And then peppermint as well. And then I used other oils, I guess, to soothe my gut, both ingesting and also putting them on my abdomen.
Okay, what would be your favorite go-tos for that? Because, I mean, if you can calm the gut, I feel like you calm the rest of your system, right?
Absolutely. So I really love tarragon, peppermint, fennel, and even cumin for my gut. I find them, and nutmeg. I think they're sort of my go-tos.
So Cressida, I know a big part of your journey as well was understanding what in your home environment perhaps was could be contributing to the inflammation and exacerbating those issues that you were having. So what did that change look like for you when you started learning to use less toxic products?
Well, I have to say it was quite a long time ago that I started that journey, and it was pretty frustrating. There was just wasn't access to the same resources that there are now. I think there was even dial-up internet at the time. And struggling to find texts and books that would give you access to the information. So that really shows how old I am. But it was slow. It was a slow burn. There were a lot of products available that were really very expensive and absolutely useless. So I remember purchasing at great expense some laundry detergent, and within a week, all my whites had turned yellow. It was pretty.
Yeah. It was a sad time for green products for sure.
Yeah. But look, things changed. There's so many brilliant products around now. I find it quite frustrating with the amount of greenwashing. My father actually is using, I've just noticed he started to use the green or eco version of a very chemical laden common washing up
brand.
Yeah.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about, because I see the same thing happen all the time, and it's so frustrating, especially when it's a loved one that maybe for years you've been like, oh, you know, maybe you should use a slightly less chemically laden product, or why don't you try this, you know, slightly more natural alternative, and then you go into their house and you're like, oh great, they're actually moving towards more healthy products. But when you really look at some of what these companies are doing with greenwashing, as you said, which is where you essentially make a product that isn't so healthy, maybe it's a slight step up from the regular, it really not that great, but the labeling and the marketing and the colors that they use and the words that they use are very tricky and manipulative and can make a consumer think, oh yeah, this is a healthy choice, when really not so much. It's frustrating to see that happen.
100%, very frustrating. I have had him promise me though he'll let me buy his next one.
Nice. But it's nice that buying more natural products is becoming a little bit easier. I mean, in a way it's more accessible and it's everywhere, but then at the same time it does make you have to be a little vigilant as well with knowing how to look out for those greenwashing tactics. So what advice would you give someone who is kind of in that position?
I think first off is probably don't purchase from a brand that is known for making the chemical laden one. That is my first tip right there. I guess there are a few products that I would A few chemical ingredients that I would really recommend people are careful about, like phthalates, BPAs, parabens, phenoxyethanol. What other ones? We've got triclosan, perfume or fragrance.
That's the big one. I feel like I teach about fragrance a lot because mm-hmm. it's such an easily recognizable word. And it's one of the trickier ones as well, because a lot of people can kind of figure out, okay, if there's an ingredient on here that I can't even pronounce, maybe it's not so good, which is and isn't true a lot of the times. But fragrance, a lot of people see that word and they think, oh, harmless, it's just smells. But we know that that's not the case, right?
It sounds so appealing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Fragrance. If a product has fragrance listed on it, unless it specifically says that it's made from essential oils, what we really want to be looking out for is the fact that companies don't need to list those chemicals that are in there. It becomes part of their secret sauce, if you like. So it means that they can really hide any number of really damaging chemicals under that banner.
So do you make a lot of your own products, or would you say you buy most of them? What advice would you give to someone who's wanting to make more of their own products?
I tend not to make cleaning products for the house, but I do make all of my own skincare products. I really couldn't find what I was looking for, and I guess I was brought up in a family where pride in your appearance was quite a high value. So I was always taught to look after my skin right from the beginning. And I guess really I found a bit of a gap in the market there. I felt there was a gap in the market for really beautiful products that squeezed into your day. When you've got three children, you know that multitasking is just absolutely an imperative. So I kind of make my skincare routine part of my self-care ritual. So I really tend to make serums have been something that I just really dipped into and absolutely love doing.
So what kind of changes are you hoping to see in this next generation of people growing up in a more health conscious world?
What I would absolutely love is that when I pack my children off to school, that they are not the outliers for having lunchboxes with fresh cut vegetables, things without packets. And I'm not meaning to judge other families, because often people are really just working within what they know or as best that they can. But I just would really love for my children and other and their friends to grow up knowing clearly what they should look out for, which direction to lean in terms of looking after themselves nutritionally, what products are safe to bring into their home. In order to do that, I'm writing a course. I know you also provide such a similar course, Sam, but really helping people to walk them step by step from not knowing what products to use and then taking them from that uncertainty and overwhelm and walking them straight through where they're really confident about the choices that they make.
Mm-hmm. It's all about reclaiming that power, I think, because it's your home, right? No one else is living in your home. No one else is bringing in the products that you're choosing to buy. There's such a pride in ownership, I feel, over my house. It's my domain, right? And I share it with these people that I care so deeply about. So to me, it is really important that I be the gatekeeper for what is and isn't allowed into my home, and that trickles down and affects the rest of my household and my family. And I love teaching people how to not just achieve that, not just do it, you know, here's step one, here's step two, because, you know, you can find that anywhere. But sometimes the hardest part for people is adopting that attitude of being the gatekeeper and having a pride in that and really creating a household environment that not only isn't making you sick, but actually nourishes and improves you inside and out, physical, soul, spiritual, all of those things, because we're so lucky, I think, to live in this day and age where a lot of us, and not everyone, but a lot of us listening have this privilege of owning a house or renting a space that's ours. You know, like we weren't always there as humans. We used to, live in community, much smaller spaces, a lot more share, you know, everyone piled into a teepee or whatever. And it's so different nowadays where we have these like kingdoms almost all to ourselves. It can be a little overwhelming, but it can also be a really exciting opportunity to build the kind of environment that you want to build for yourself and your family.
Absolutely. And I love that term gatekeeper. I really feel, I'm not sure about you and your family, but in my family, I'm the one that does most of the shopping. And so I am the gatekeeper to our home. I can decide what we bring inside and what we leave outside. And I want that for everybody.
Cressida, give me one last piece of advice for people listening who may be struggling with an autoimmune disease, or maybe they have a different kind of genetic predisposition that runs in their family that they're really worried about, and they want to be able to stack the cards in their favor.
Well, I think if you have got this genetic predisposition, the best thing to do is to try and just what we've been talking about is keep your household environment, the products that you bring into your home and onto your skin, as clean as possible. Because what you're really doing is you're giving your body the best opportunity to work with what it's got. Not overloading. If you've got sort of a, you know, slightly weaker liver, you're not overloading it with things that it needs to process. I think really working out for yourself to just doing a bit of an N equals one experiment. Try different nutritional plans, trying to figure out what works best for you. But really, I think the more muck we can keep out of our life, the better that our genes operate.
That's right. Clear a path for your body, lower the toxins, get rid of the unnecessary stress that it's under so that it can do its job, which is to heal itself. So, Cressida, now that you've done this huge transformation more into toxin-free living, you're incorporating tools like essential oils and other natural things to foster your health. How are you doing now with your Crohn's disease? How's your health?
I am 100% symptom-free. I definitely need to watch what I eat a little bit. My gastroenterologist might be surprised there. But I have it pretty much nailed down. So, I just know how to peel things back when they're getting a little bit out of control. I'm very, very protective of my sleep. I suggest that everyone should be as much as they can, but there is definitely hope. I think that I'm getting more and more vibrant every year. I'm just starting to learn how to surf as I approach my 50s.
Nice. Oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, Cressida, before you go, I'd love to ask you our closing questions. And the first is just give us a glimpse into one or two self-care practices you try to do every day to stay healthy.
Well, as I said earlier, pride in your appearance was quite a high value. So I really like to look after my skin. And I really encourage people to have a quick and effective skincare routine. I do feel that sometimes, without being overly vain, but feeling comfortable with when you look in the mirror can help set off your day right. Another one that I would encourage people to do, especially if you've got an autoimmune disease or some kind of chronic fatigue, is just to try and take a minute. And I know that often a minute is all you have, but just to tune into your body and see how you're feeling that day. For me, that sort of makes my decisions about how I'm going to nourish my body and how I'm going to move it more appropriate for how my system is that day.
Yeah. I want to know what your quick skincare routine looks like.
My quick skincare routine, I use an oil cleanser and then I put on a serum that I make myself, and that is it.
Nice. Can you share what's in your serum?
Look, I change it a lot. I use the oils that I spoke about earlier with the my favorite skin oils, but I also am experimenting with making oils using permaculture techniques. So if I'm looking to increase hydration, I will make my serums under the new moon, because then it's all about creating and expanding. And if I'm looking to minimize maybe some of those little cheeky fine lines around the eyes, then I'll do that around the full moon, which is all about releasing. So I'm just having a good go at making those serums and seeing if it makes a difference.
Well, finally, Cressida, what's one thing we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
So I had a really good think about this one. And what I decided to respond with was that I would like to ditch the pressure and self-judgment. So I am all about things low tox. I have most things dialed in, but I absolutely love getting my nails done. And it just makes me so happy that I am super confident that even though it isn't toxin free, that it is benefiting my health because I get so much joy out of it.
I love that answer. I was just talking the other week with one of our interviewees and our guest about, you know, not everything is so black and white. You know, you can eat chocolate cake and it'd be a wonderful thing for your health and your body because it brings you joy. And like you said, you know, you get so much joy out of that experience. And so the joy that that brings you versus the, you know, yeah, you're inhaling some chemicals while you do it. I mean, I'm with you there. I think that the joy is going to outweigh that chemical exposure to an extent. So I love that answer. Well, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us here today. For people who want to be a part of your world, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Best, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook, and that is at Stripey Horse Health. And then I've got my course will be launching in May. And if the first five people would like to email me at stripeyhorsehealth@gmail.com, I will give them free access to that course.
Wow, that's so sweet of you. Well, we'll put all the information about your website and how to reach out to you as well in the show notes to make it really easy for everyone to find. Well, thank you so much for sharing your time with us here today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sam.
The Essential Oil Revolution is created by me, Samantha Lee Wright. Come connect with me on Instagram at Sam Lee Wright or on Facebook at Essential Oil Revolution Podcast. Our website is revolutionoilspodcast.com. Check us out there. You can comment on all of the episodes, shop our most popular products, and support our amazing sponsors. Thanks so much for listening. And if you enjoy the show, consider sharing it with a friend or two or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. And don't forget, you can submit up to 5 recipes a year into our DIY dugout, which makes you automatically enter to win our monthly giveaways. Simply email us your name, your original essential oil recipe, and where you're from, or your website to DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for being a part of the revolution. We'll catch you here next week. In the meantime, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.